You know, we're in our study of Back to the Basics, and we're doing here, by request, then an overview of the Bible. Okay, so we're going to do that as much as we can here. I know there are a lot of Christians concerned about the things going on in our world today, and sometimes they hold up the Bible as a banner, and they loudly proclaim that the Bible is our answer, and they are protesting the removal of biblical principles in our society, and I understand that, because they're right in that sense. But the question is, can they open that Bible and find their way through it? Do they know what the Bible even says? Israel told Moses to relate to them what God said, but because they didn't want to communicate directly with him. And I know that on our time sometimes coming together, we hear God's word from somebody that has been preparing and getting together a study and understand all that. That's good. But can we go to the mountain ourselves and say what the Bible says? Can we go and see what the Bible means about what it says? It's very important for us to be able to do that. The time, Paul said, would come when they would no longer give patient attention to sound teaching. Are we there? Have we come to that time where people just give me a little bit of scripture, but don't overdo it here, just a little bit, just something to get me through the day, but I'm not really interested totally in what all it has to say. Look, if God has spoken in his word, there's no greater thing for us than to understand what he said. So this is what this is about here. I know some of you can do this in your sleep. That's okay, because it's not everybody's there, and it's also good for us to be able to understand ourselves. I am just amazed at how people today in our society just don't have a clue when it comes to the Bible like they used to. Like I heard the man say at the time, he said, as Abraham Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Well, you know, old Abe wasn't the first one to say that. It was our Lord who said it. It's in the Bible. I told you before that it's really difficult. If I wake up during the night and I know I need to go back to sleep, I can't read the scriptures because it gets my mind going so much that I'll never get back to sleep. So I have to read something else. Lately, I've been reading about the French Revolution. A lot of things I wasn't aware of. But anyway, in reading that, I came across what the writer said. He said, an old Latin proverb, those who do evil hate the light. And I thought, what? An old Latin proverb? That's in John 3. And it wasn't written in Latin. It was later translated that way, but it's not a Latin proverb. So it's important for us to be able to understand God's word, get a hold of it, so that it can get a hold of us. Amen. That's the real goal we have. There was a translator of the new scriptures there, and it says in the New Testament, it says, he said this. I thought this is really fascinating. Here's what the translator said as he's translating through into English. He said, although I did my utmost to preserve an emotional detachment, I found again and again that the material under my hands was strangely alive. It spoke to my condition in the most uncanny way. So as he's translating here into English, it just would grip him. This is alive. And it is alive. So we're going to do this broad overview of scriptures, how it all fits together. Where are we when we have our Bibles? You know, do we know if somebody says turn to Ezekiel, what is it? What's he talking about? Not only can you get there, but before you get there, do you know, oh, that's at this certain situation. This is the background. Can you do that? And I think it's real important for us to understand and have a general knowledge of an area. And to me, the best illustration of that is just like, have you ever looked on something in Craigslist? And then you get to the map. Some of you are already shaking. No, you don't look on Craigslist. If you do, and you got a map of where this thing is that you want, it's always really small, isn't it? And you go, well, where is that? And I always have to zoom out. So, and I'm looking for what? I'm looking for I-20, 820, I-35, I-30. I'm looking for some big roads so I'll know the general area where this is. That's what we try to do when we talk about the Bible. And we want to be able to know our way around the Bible, just to have some basic knowledge, an outline of what's going on. I don't know how many times I've talked to people, somebody says, well, I'm going to Guthrie. I say, where's Guthrie? Well, it's next to Paducah. I say, where's Paducah? Well, it's 25 miles from Matador. And I had that conversation a couple of years ago with somebody. Every town she mentioned, I didn't have a clue. You know, if she had just said something like, oh, about an hour north of Houston. Or, you know, said southwest of San Antonio or something. I could get that. But she was naming all these little towns. Well, we need the basic areas there of Scripture that we can kind of get a hold of. So if somebody says, turn to Micah, you know that's a part of the minor prophets. Not minor in significance, minor in size. That's all that is meant by that. And then you say, that's okay, that's an 8th century prophet. What's looming large here is the Assyrians are going to attack. This is some general knowledge that will help you kind of understand where you are. So what's helpful here is to understand a history of the old Scriptures. Okay. Of the whole Bible, but primarily the new Scriptures, we're only talking 100 years. Less than 100 years. Okay. So in the old, that's covering the basic history. So get high points of the old. And then how all this fits together. This is what we're dealing with, the books of the Bible. By the way, how many books are there in the Bible? 66 books in the Bible. How many in the old? Huh? 39. That woman wins a prize. 39. And 3 times 9 is what? Whoa. Has it been that long? Frazier was praying for those. He maybe should have prayed for those who have been in school. They have forgotten it. 3 times 9 is... How many books in the New Scriptures? 27, yes. And that was just a way to remember that. But you could do the math. 66 minus 39, 27. Okay, so there you got it. Very good. So proud of you. Okay, so we're going to talk about how the book's laid out. I want to first mention, though, the basic, in the Hebrew Bible, let me just tell you this, and it's not really important for you to know all this right here, but just to be aware of it. In the Hebrew Bible, it's laid out differently than it is our English Bibles, okay? They have 3 categories. Typically, it's used in a lot of circles as 4 categories for our English Bible of the Old Testament. In the Hebrew Bible, you got the law. Anybody guess what the next one is? The prophets. And what's the last one? The writings. Right. So, and it's laid out a little differently. You have the former in the law. You got Genesis through Deuteronomy, just as we have in the English. And by the way, it's the same books. It's just the order that they're in. The prophets, we have the former prophets. And that's Joshua, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. They have it as one book. 1 and 2 Samuel is one book. 1 and 2 Kings, one book. Okay. Then you got the latter prophets, Isaiah, all the way through the prophets. And then finally, you have the writings. And so it's not significant for you to know all this, just to be aware that it's there. Let me move on. Oh, there is something that does make it significant, I think. You know, when the Lord said, from the blood of Abel, sometimes you may have wondered, what do you mean by the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple? Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Why did he say that? Well, when you look at the order that they have, the blood of Abel is in the book of Genesis. The blood of Zechariah is in the book of 2 Chronicles, which is their last book. I mean, in other words, that's how the order that they have. It's not that they don't have Malachi, they do. But the order that they have, that's their last one. So when the Lord said that, it seems to kind of shed some light of why he would say that from start to finish. All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about history. What do we have at first? And I need your help. Maybe I should go through here to get to that slide. No. That's going to take too long. Don't look. Don't shut your eyes, please. This is a spoiler alert. Okay. All right. So the very first thing we have, of course, is the creation. But from there, we have one man that God singles out. It's the man he made. And his name is Adam. And in the Hebrew, it's the same word. When it says man or it says Adam, it's the same word. Adam. Okay, so we have Adam and the fall. So what's the next one? I heard it, but I didn't hear it loud enough. Noah and the flood. What book of the Bible are we in? Very good. All right, then we have after Noah and the flood, we have... All right, the Tower of Babel. All right, so we've got Adam and the fall, Noah and the flood. What book of the Bible are we in? Genesis. What's the next event? What's the next major event? We're just hitting high points. I-20, I-35, you got it, 360. We're hitting the big spots here. This is what we're talking about. So what's next? Abraham. Yes, what book of the Bible are we in? There you go, Genesis. It should that should have that upon a click. Abraham had a son named Isaac, had a son named Jacob, had how many sons? 12. All right. So they end up, some of the sons, most of the sons, sell one son into slavery in Egypt, right? What book of the Bible are we in? Genesis still. You see why this is important? So you go, the Genesis covers all this. You know where you are. All right. So they sell him, Joseph, into slavery. And then eventually he makes himself known. He is risen by the Lord up to a position to rule underneath Pharaoh. He ends up in control, gets the brothers back. They apologize for what they've done and, through their remorse. Anyway, he brings them back in. They end up living in Egypt. And then what happens? Anybody remember? Huh? I think it was probably said, but I don't quite understand. That's what it sounded like from up here. You get an A. Okay. I don't know what you said, but you got it. Okay. Yeah, it's probably, I'm sure you're right. So Abraham, the next main thing is what? The Egyptian bondage. The rise of Pharaoh that does not know Joseph. Okay, so they enslave them. And then what? What book of the Bible are we in? All right, so we got the Exodus, started in Exodus. And then what happens after that? God raises up Moses. What book of the Bible are we in? Exodus all the way through Deuteronomy. Okay. Then after Moses dies, who's up? Joshua. What book of the Bible were you in? Joshua. Okay. Now, then. So after Joshua dies, who starts to rule? Very good. All right. So, and what book of the Bible are we in? Judges and Ruth. All right. Then we have the kings. Then after the kings, we have... What book of the Bible are we in with kings? Okay. There we go. So you've got 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Okay? After the kings, at the very end, they end up in what? Babylonian bondage or captivity. And you've got the what book of the Bible are we in there? On the history side? You answered well. There is no book. All right, so at least at that on the history side, then you got the return, Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, Nehemiah, all those sort of Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, but in the order would be Nehemiah would be last. Okay, now so once you get there, so in your Bible, if you have your Bible and you look here and you go all the way from Genesis through Nehemiah, right here. What do you think? And Esther actually is the last one, but it's not in order right there. Esther fits in a little bit before then. So right here it is. Okay, you got all that? The rest of the old fits right in here. Does that make sense? So if I pull these out and tore them out, and put them where they go, historically, they would fit somewhere in here. That's the second category. We have history, we have poetry, and we have prophecy. Or poetry could just be writing. Okay, now close your eyes for a second. Let's see if we can do this. Ah, you're looking. Come on. Thought you were Christians. Okay. All right, so here we go. What's the first category? What are the three categories? Now, look, some people say law. Law, history, and then poetry and prophecy or writings. I think it's simpler just to say history, poetry, and prophecy. All of it fits in there in the history books. I think it's easier to do that way. All right, so here we go. So if we talk about the first category is what? Yeah, but we're doing away with that. No more law. No. History, right. We're just going to call it history. Okay, so here we go. So what books fit in history? Genesis? Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Right? Are we still in history? Yeah. We're still there. So look, here we go. Those are the first five books, which we call law, but it's still part of history here. All right, Joshua, Judges, and then what's next? What happens to Ruth? Do you see that? What was that about? What happened? It's the same time frame as the book of Judges. That's why it's there. Okay, got it? Okay, this is all what? History. Is it all the history? No. So here we go. What's next? 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Kings. Oh, what was that about? Did you catch that? 1 and 2 Samuel. Why is it there? Why did 1 Chronicles end up over here? You say, because you made it do that. Why? Huh? It's the same time period. So 1 and 2 Samuel, the books of 1 and 2 Samuel are covered in 1 Chronicles. Same time period. Everybody got that? All right. If God has spoken, what's important for us to do is understand what He has said. And if we are interested enough, we'll learn what this is about. How it all fits together. 1 and 2 Samuel, it's covered in 1 Chronicles, same time period. So what's next? 1 Kings, 2 Kings, what's covered there in the same time period? 2 Chronicles. Where's the name? There it is. Okay. Then what? What happens after that time period? Huh? Yeah, the Babylonian captivity of 70 years. Then what happens? What's left? What's left of the history books? Yeah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, those books right there are what's left. Uh-oh. Look what happens. Why did that happen? Same time period. Everybody understand? Everybody got it? Okay. And that's the end of the history books. History. Then what's next? Okay. Whoops. Okay. So then everything else fits in that time period. Everything fits there. Then after that, you've got this period of silence between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years of silence where God is not writing Scripture. Okay? Then after that, you have the nation of Israel in the hands of the Romans in Matthew. Okay, so that's that time period. And again, what we have is the ministry of our Lord, who was a minister to the circumcision, that means to the Jews, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. All right. What about us? Where do we fit in? We talked a lot about Israel. What about us? Well, in the book of Daniel, he talks about 70 weeks determined upon the nation of Israel. And those are weeks of seven. So we had 490 years total. But we know that the cross took place after 434 years. And the last 7 weeks, the last 7 years have not happened yet. And we can verify that through Scripture. We don't have time to do it right now, but we can verify it. So there's a gap between the 69 weeks of Daniel and the 70th. Got it? How big is that gap? It hasn't happened yet. So between the crucifixion till now, we're talking over 2,000 years. What's in that gap? Us. We're there. That's where we are. God had us in mind. He knew that His people would reject the Messiah, and He had a place for us. Even Randy. Can you believe it? He said, especially Randy. Somebody says, is Randy even mentioned in the Bible? Yeah, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He'll get me back. We are all there, but the dispensation of the mystery is right there. Things that were not revealed in the old scriptures. Abraham did not know about the church age, because to him, what he could see, or even the prophets, what they could see was that. They really didn't even see that. They certainly didn't see that. And that's where we fit. It's a secret time that God had not revealed until then. Okay, so now how does... So let's do this again. We've got... What's the first thing? History. And what books are they? Genesis through... Yeah. Esther, or, you know, Nehemiah is the last in chronological order. All right, then we have, then what? What's the next book? Poetry or writings, okay? And what books do we have there? Okay, Job. And where does Job fit? Okay, so there's Job, you see? Did you catch him? He jumped in there. You remember Kelly Golly? He didn't understand about the book of Psalms and Job when he got after he got saved. So that's where Job fits. Okay, way back there. Everything fits in there. In the writings. Where's the next thing? Job, and then what? Psalms. Where would Psalms fit? Exactly. You do have some Psalms that go way back. Moses wrote a Psalm, for example. But the compilation of Psalms are in the time period of the David. And so you got it between, you know, 1 and 2 Samuel. Okay? Then where would Proverbs fit? Who did most of the Proverbs? Who's the one that compiled the Proverbs, and who was his name? Solomon, David's son. So then you got Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all fitting in that time period. Anybody have a question? Honestly, this is our back to the basics. If you have a question about any of this, please feel free to ask. Anybody? All right. So then what we have after Song of Solomon, then what's the next book of the Bible? Isaiah. So where would that fit? These are the prophetic books. Or prophecy. You see, the Y didn't quite make it. It's on the next line. All right, so all those prophetic books, all but three, not three, there's two more as well. But these books all fit in the time period of 1 and 2 Kings, or 2 Chronicles. Okay? Then you've got, during the captivity, you have two books that are mentioned, and they are Ezekiel and Daniel. And then finally, you have what? Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. And where do they fit? During that time period of the return, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Okay? Got it? I'm going to turn it all off, and it's your turn. Okay, we won't do that. All right, so this is where everything, and anybody wants a copy of this, if you want a PDF of it, I can send you the PDF file. You let me know, and just give me your email address if I don't already have it, and I'll send it to you. Okay? All right, now the books of the New Testament. Okay, so what do we have? Okay, so give me categories. I gave you we talked about categories in the old. Let's talk about categories of the new. What's the first one? Okay, well, if it's a history of a person, we call it what? Biography. What's the next category? History. What's the next category? Huh? Letters. And then the final category, prophecy. Okay, you got it? Here we go. What are the biography books? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What's the history book? Acts. What's the letters? Romans all the way through 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. Okay? And then finally, what's prophecy? Okay, you got it? All right. Now, let me just go a little bit further. Have we lost anybody yet? He said, lost me a long time ago. Well, then get back on board. We're going. Here we go. So we've got these books during the earthly ministry of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then you got the book of Acts, and you've got letters written during the book of Acts period. Why is that important? Because there's some things going on during the book of Acts period that aren't going on after the book of Acts period. Okay? So then we've got the letters that were written after the book of Acts. And then, let me just speed this up, and then we got the book of Revelation. Okay? We got the church letters, the letters written for the church, the body of Christ. And then let me just quickly do this, and then we'll stop. And any questions we'll entertain. Okay, you got it? So the church letters, and we got the Jewish letters, or the general letters. So those that were written during the book of Acts as far as the church, the Jewish letters, and the church letters. So James was a general letter, is written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. not written to the body of Christ as such. Now, it doesn't mean we don't read the book of James and learn from it. Absolutely we do. But what it means is it wasn't directly written to the church there. It was written to Jewish believers. So is Malachi. Malachi was written to the Jews. It says, the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Does that mean you shouldn't read Malachi? You better read Malachi, because there's a lot there for you and me to learn from. So yes, you should be reading it and learn from it. But don't go there and find something that Israel was to do ritually and think that you're supposed to do it today. It would be a mistake. So the book of Acts, after the book of Acts, you've got those that were written then. Okay? I think that's... Okay, so as everything's divided off, again, Old Testament, we have what? Okay, so a lot of times people see it, Old Testament, New Testament, and it means nothing to them. And they say, what does that mean? What is it? You know, in fact, what the Old Testament really is was the law. The New Testament was something for the nation of Israel that God fulfilled in Christ on the cross, and yet it's the fulfillment of the New Testament will be that future. All right, so here you go. You got it divided just like we talked about through the book of Esther. I drew the line there for you. And then you've got the other line that you... Can you see it? You can't see it. Well, believe it or not, there's another line there. I thought I put it there. Oh, no wonder. It's too fancy. Okay, there it is. And then, that breaks it off. So if you have your Bible and you go to the table of contents, you could draw that line there. But your Bible may have it already divided off for you. And then new, we could do the same thing. I don't know why that line's there. Okay. Who put that line there? Under 1 Corinthians. That means nothing. All right. So, well, come on. All right. So you got biography, history, what? Letters. And then you got what? Prophecy, the book of Revelation. Okay. Everybody got it? Now, look, your Bible content may look like that. What is your table contents look like? And some of you are digital, so yours doesn't look like anything. But if not, there you got the Torah, which means the law, and you've got narrative literature, it says here, which is just really history, and then the wisdom literature, which are the writings, and then you got the prophets. So again, if your Bible says that, that's fine. It's not your Bible, but the introduction into your Bible. And why is that? Okay. Did I already do that? I know I did it, but why is that in there again? Okay. All right, all that. All right, good. So we're done. Okay. Why is all that important? Because, again, you want to know your way around in the Scriptures. You want to know when somebody brings up, for example, somebody says something about, Joseph, the life of Joseph. You'll know where that is. Where is it? In the book of Genesis. If somebody talks about Joab, not Joseph. Now where are you? Yeah. I heard somebody say it. Who said that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And then what if I say something about Philemon? It would be in the book of Philemon. So that's not a good one. Just knowing where you are. If we talk about where the Exodus took place, it's the book of Exodus. We talk about what happened in the... In the days of the judges, you know where to find that, and you know where that fits. Okay, so you know where you are. All that history fits in. All these other books fit into that time period. See, what happens if people read their Bible and they're going along and they go to let's say Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and they think the very next thing that's written is what? Job. So they think, okay, so all this took place, and they get to the book of Job and say, okay, this is another thing. This happened after that. It doesn't. All of that fits back over here. Psalms, where does that fit? Oh, the days of the kings. Proverbs, where does that fit? Days of the kings. So you see where all of this goes, okay? You see why it's important? So I've been teaching this for a long time because I've felt like it's so important. And I like to teach kids this because they're interested. No, you're interested too. But but they really, they get a hold of it. Once they get a hold of it, it stays with them. Right, Gordon? It stays with them, and they're able to find their way through the Bible. It is so helpful. It is very helpful. So anybody wants a copy of that, let me know, and you're welcome to it. The main thing is not just academic. You're not just sitting here learning about these things, but you're learning them so you can understand what God has said in His Word, and you don't get confused. I remember, you remember Richard Bailey. He met, I'd heard a man by the name of J.J. Ivey. And J.J. Ivey was fasting, and it got in the news. He was fasting because he didn't understand why the signs weren't following him. And he said he was going to fast until he had an answer to it. Well, a good friend, Richard Bailey, wrote him a letter and said he's praying for him and tried to help him to understand the Bible. Because he didn't understand this, the man eventually died from fasting so long. He didn't understand why these signs didn't follow him. Richard had an answer for him, but unfortunately, apparently, it didn't happen soon enough. And this is really important that we understand the Scriptures, or we can wrest them to our own destruction. So this is very, very important. Then once we get a hold and we try to start understanding and read our Bibles, please don't read your Bible haphazardly. Don't just think, what does God have for me today? There it is. Then Hagar answered and said, "So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every good work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean." And I'm trying to make a decision what job to take. And I read that verse. And I bet you anything I could come up with some interpretation to decide which job I should take. That would be a terrible mistake. To read your Bible like that. God wants us to read our Bibles to get closer to Him. And the closer you get to Him when you walk with Him, that's walking with Him, and when you walk with Him, the way gets a little bit easier to see. So it's not an issue of just sitting there trying to use the Bible like a magic book or, you know, the old, what was that, eight ball? Do you remember the eight ball? How many of y'all remember the eight ball? Yeah, the magic eight ball. Should I obey my parents today? You know, and you just do it like this, and up would come an answer, not at this time. You know, God doesn't want us, you know, that this guy, the story is told, the guy that was looking for the will of God for his life, and he just flipped through and he put his finger down and says, Judas hanged himself. He said, well, maybe I should try again. So he flipped again, and his finger went down and says, got to a verse, says, "Go and do thou likewise." So I thought, wow, that's supposed to be the will of God for my. And so he did it one more time, and he flipped through, and he put his finger down and said, "What thou doest, do quickly." That is really not the approach to studying our Bibles. We are called not just to read it, we're called to study it, to really try to understand what it's saying. And then don't be just this guy that says we read through so we can make sure we get through all this and you don't really understand it. Don't do that. If you only go through two verses that you're working on, real, that's fantastic. Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's a phrase. but you're trying to go through it so that you can understand it. Do it. And it will return incredible dividends. Take time in your word and enter into it. And when you read about, you know, the life of Paul in the book of Acts, or you read about the life of Peter in the Gospels or in Acts, and enter into it. What did they feel like? What did this do to them? How were they singing praises to God at midnight? And let those verses grip you. And I guarantee you, it will grip you. One that I always share that, you know, I'm just as an example. There are times I don't want it to grip me. I'll be honest with you. There are times I don't want it to happen. One of those verses, many times it would haunt me at times, you know, it says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. And I'd have to sit there and I was stewing my juice because I didn't like something Martha did. And I would sit there and think, there it is, let not the sun go down in your wrath. So what am I going to do? And I'm honest with you, I'll just tell you, there are times I thought, man, I wish that verse wasn't there. But God knows what He's doing, and it's good that it was there. And it doesn't mean you're going to always resolve all your problems before you go to bed. It just means let the anger go. Just let it go. And probably you should be angry at yourself. Let God's word just get a hold of you. I heard a man years ago say, it's the only book that reads you while you're reading it. I highly recommend this book. That's why they're going to come up and sing something about this book. So, and then, Fraser, you can close in prayer if you would. After you sing.